Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya
Vishnupada Paramahamsa Parivajacharya Astotara Chajasya Srimad Bhakti Vedanta Swami Shala Prabhupada Ki Jaya Vishnupada Paramahamsa Parivajacharya Astotara Chajasya Srimad Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasadi Goswami Shala Prabhupada Ki Jaya Ananta Koti Vaishnavinda Ki Jaya Namachari Silari Dastakur Ki Jaya Gantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jaya Janitai Gaur Premanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to Sri Guru Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. This morning we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, entitled Chapter 7, What Prahlad Learned in the Womb, and text number 25. Buddhe jagranam swapna susupti riti vrittaya tayena eva anubhuyante sodayaksha purushapara. Buddhe jaganam swapne susupti riti vrittaya तायेनैवानु भूयन्ते सोदयाक्षा पुरुष परा बुद्धे जागरणाम स्वप्ने सुषुप्ति रीति वित्तया तायेनैव अनुभूयन्ते सोदयाक्ष पुरुष परा बुद्धे जागरणं स्वप्ना सुषुप्ति रीति वृत्तया तायेनैव अनुभूयन्ते सोदयक्ष पुरुष परः बुद्धे जागरणं स्वप्ना सुषुप्तिरिति वृत्तया तायेनैव अनुभूयन्ते सोदयक्ष पुरुष परा वर्ड टू वर्ड मीनिंग बुद्धिः ऑफ द इंटेलिजेंस जागरणम् द वेकिंग और एक्टिव स्टेट ऑफ द ग्रॉस सेंसेस स्वप्नः Dreaming, the activity of the senses without the gross body. Sushuptihi, deep sleep or cessation of all activities. Although the living entity is the seer. Iti, thus. Vrittayaha, Various transactions. Daha, they, ena, by whom, eva, indeed, anubhuyante, or perceived, saha, that, adhyakshaha, overseer, who is different from the activities. Purusha, the enjoyer, Paraha, transcendental. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation. Intelligence can be perceived in three states of activity. Wakefulness, dreaming and deep sleep. The person who perceives these three is to be considered the original master, the ruler, and the supreme personality of Godhead. Purport. Without intelligence, one cannot understand the direct activities of the senses, nor can he understand dreaming or the cessation of all gross and subtle bodies. The seer and controller is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supreme Soul, by whose direction the individual soul can understand when he is awake, when he is sleeping, and when he is completely in trance. In Bhagavad Gita 15:15, the Lord says, Sarvasya chaham ridhi sanivishto mata smriti jnanam apohanam cha. I am seated in everyone's heart, and from me come remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. The living entities are completely absorbed in the three states of wakefulness, dreaming and deep sleep through their intelligence. This intelligence is supplied by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who accompanies the individual soul as a friend. Srila Madhavacharya says that the living entity is sometimes described as Sattva Buddhi, when his intelligence acts directly to perceive pains and pleasure above activities. There is a dreaming state in which understanding comes from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Matas Smriti Jnanam Apohanam Cha. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Super Soul, is the Supreme Controller, and under His direction, the living entities are sub-controllers. One must understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead with one's intelligence. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Sakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupakamayam Tadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamsa Sri Rupam Sagrijatam Sahana Raghunathan Kamsajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sagitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahana Lalita Sri Vishakan Vitamsa E Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Sri Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sude Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Vyasya Kripa Sindhu Bhayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namile Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashyat Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktavanda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. Seeking the blessings of assembled Vaishnavas, I'd like to speak from Srimad Bhagavatam, own purification. And not sure whether I'll do justice for this verse. Without intelligence, one cannot understand the direct activities of the senses, nor can he understand dreaming or the cessation of all gross and subtle activities. So here we see, so Prahlada Maharaj is giving a lot of understanding or self-realization and information which is not easily available in schools and college. So he is sharing his knowledge which he received through the disciplic succession from the parampara, from Narada Muni. He is explaining to his classmates. So here three things are mentioned. Jagranam, Swapna, Sushuptir. And Prabhupada actually gives a small little version of a purport in the word-to-word translation itself. First is Jagranam, the waking or active state of the gross senses. So if you see, our body usually very people think beyond the body in the normal, they think everything is one. But actually only Krishna has that quality. Krishna's mind, soul and body, everything is one. But for a living entity, there are different types of body, which is quite bewildering when you come new to spiritual dimension or forum. They ask about body, which body? We all know one body, but then they distinguish or separate, like previously we see, one has to separate the matter and the spirit and come try to find the supreme spirit by the process of negation or analyzing. This is Sankhya. Sankhya Yoga is nothing but trying to analyze the matter and spirit. Sankhya basically means to count. Prabhupada said actually in in the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna asked questions regarding the Sankhya and the Buddhi Yoga. And interestingly, in the one of the purport, Prabhupada writes that the both are nothing but the same. One is trying to identify the root and the other one is watering the root. So if we can able to water the root, so that is the Buddhi Yoga, or using one's intelligence in pleasing the Supreme. And Krishna says that you have to do this, to use your intelligence. But then, interestingly, our intelligence is used to much of the time to understand things in a very logical, in a very radical, rational way. We use our intelligence in a logic. But down the line of life of a devotee, one understands that you cannot understand by your intelligence how Krishna consciousness works also. One has to really go beyond or above the intelligence faculty as well. Because when Arjuna asked this question, Krishna, you are asking me to use this intelligence at the same time fight in the war. Now one may say, if one is using the intelligence, one will actually avoid sinful or bad activities. Right? Like for example, if someone says, use your intelligence and kill that guy. Like, if I use my intelligence, why should I kill that guy? I shouldn't be, because I'll be in problem. So this is the state of Arjuna. Arjuna is asking, Krishna, you're telling two things here. Tell me one thing, whether I used to use intelligence or fight. Now Krishna is saying, no, use your intelligence and fight. Because Arjuna is thinking, why would I fight? Because this is not good. If it is not good, if I use my intelligence, I should go away from that. I should not participate in that. Then Krishna said, you have to work and renounce. So this is again the same theme. People think spirituality means that you have to renounce. But at the same time you have to work for Krishna, engage the senses. We keep hearing that. Then these two things become contradiction. How come, you know, spirituality means we have to give up everything. We have to renounce this world. We have to become an ascetic. No, actually not. Because even if you are renouncing and everything, you are carrying your mind and senses with you. Right? And you are... So, in the same thing, Krishna stresses this point, because Arjuna wants to renounce without purification. So Krishna says that renunciation without the purification of the heart is a disturbing in the society. Is a disturbance. Don't be a pretender. Krishna hammers this point. Because without proper purification of the heart, you prematurely renounce things. That is not going to help the society nor yourself. This is going to bring a lot of disturbance in the society. So don't be a pretender, mithyachar. So rather, you work in a renouncing spirit or work with knowledge. What is the knowledge? That everything as a sacrifice to Vishnu, or everything is done as an offering to Vishnu, then you will not be bound into this material world. So the intelligence here, so we can see these three kinds of body. That's where we started this class. So one is the gross, then the subtle, and the spiritual body. So we have three body.
And this gross, when we are aware of this gross body, then we are in jagranam, or the wakeful state, where we are aware of our activities completely. Then the next stage comes is the dreaming or the swapna. That means the intelligence is switched off and the mind is active. That is, the subtle body is very active. Sometimes we see that we dream a lot of things. I hope everyone had that experience of dreaming, right? We always dream. Sometimes we wake up also because of the things which we see and or experience. One dream I have, weird dream, is that I was in the altar and then this door was open. So a few times we have seen that, experienced that, when people come for darshan, they just walk straight. I've personally seen, like when we have Bhagavatam class, some new people coming like that, they slowly go and they start walking to Gaur Nithai. And then someone has to pull them, come out, because there is no, how do we, because we devotees, we get this training, okay, this is where you have to stand, take darshan. Like in India, if you see, they have a big kind of wall or higher platform. There's a clear distinction. There's a platform, big platform, right? Where they cannot climb, and then they have a balcony kind of setup where they have barricades, you cannot. Otherwise, India, it's difficult, right? Like, for example, one person, okay, if 100 are walking in. So, I had this weird dream that I just walked into the altar and there were 10-15 people in the altar. And I was like, what's going on here? There's so many people in the altar. Anyone to come on. Then what happened? I was trying to push the people from this side. Then the other people are coming that side. So it was becoming till chaos, So then we have to close that grill gate. I was calling our head pujari, Bhaktiman. I said, Bhaktiman, come on, there's something happening here, You have to do something. We have to close this and push people out. And people are not listening. Why? No, So you get these dreams when you do. Of course, many dreams I cannot tell here. So many dreams we get, weird dreams, Because the mind is active. Prabhupada gave lecture on this verse. He gave a couple of lectures on this verse, actually. Prabhupada saying, there's two kinds of dream. One is concrete and abstract. Prabhupada become very technical. So what we see in the night is just abstract. What is abstract means? What is abstract, Prabhu? Like a brief thing of what is. They have a big thesis and then they have a brief abstract, isn't it? They will present it in a very small So Prabhu was saying that the dream is, the abstract is what we saw like that, and then there is a concrete dream which we had experienced many times in life. So Prabhupada gave example. 40 million years ago you were a tree. But that's a reality. If you see, we can't remember 10 years back. 10 years back I was like this, I did like this, now it's like a dream. We say that, right? So few years back we did something and it's gone, it's like a dream. Few years back or few lifetime back we were a cat. Few lifetimes back we were a dog, hog, tree. Now we just went, left it, it's become like a dream. Prabhu was saying, if this is a chance of a human body, if we're not able to use it properly, then this also will become like a dream. Gone. Dream and then forget, we forgot. So then it goes to deep sleep, sushupti, cessation of all activities, although living it. So here very important that even though we are in deep sleep means that we are the gross and the subtle body, everything is not active. Prabhupada gives example like person who had taken chloroform or in unconscious state. You can't remember. If someone is sleeping deep sleep or something, when we wake up, we say, oh, I had a very deep sleep. I was like a dead man. We say that. They slept like a dead body, like dead. Prabhupada says that even death is nothing but a deep sleep for 7 months. Because at the time of death, one is put into the consciousness is there. The consciousness is there all the time. I am in a wakeful state. I am in a dream state. Oh, I dreamt like this. I can see. And then I am in a deep sleep. Even though one is going through these stages with his intelligence, he can understand. But who is perceiving? Here it says, intelligence can be perceived in three state of activities. Who is perceiving? That is the point here. There are two consciousness mentioned in this verse, or two personalities are mentioned in this verse. One is the individual soul, and the second is Paramatma or Super Soul. We can remember when we are wakeful what I did and everything to a degree. Like for example, at the end of the day, you cannot recollect every item or everything which you did whole day to the perfection. Right? You can remember certain incidents which is prominent or certain things. You forget many things. So, but there is one personality which is totally conscious of all the three states. Whether you are wakeful, whether you are dreaming, whether you are unconscious, in the sense like deep sleep. One person is constantly with you, he is overseer, he is the enjoyer, he is observing. That is the super soul. And then he gives you the intelligence, the remembrance and the memory. Mata smriti jnanam apoganam cha. He is there. That personality is the supreme person, he is the super soul. The seer and controller is the supreme personality of Godhead, the supreme soul, by whose direction the individual soul can understand when he is awake, when he is sleeping, and when he is completely in trance. So he gives the intelligence, he gives the remembrance, forgetfulness, he gives everything. He is seated in the heart. So he can remember, even though we going through these different stages, different things, we cannot remember fully, especially in the deep sleep. Sometimes in a morning, we share a house, or someone tell, did you remember I woke you up? I said, I can't remember anything. I woke you up, you know. Why? Because in deep sleep, you start snoring. You can't remember, you can't hear your own snoring. But the other person is there. He's woken up. And he's saying, I have to woke you up because I couldn't able to sleep. You were snoring. He said, I can't remember. And then someone told, did you feel that earthquake last night? What time? 1 o'clock? 1 o'clock, I'll be in like a deep samadhi. What are you talking about? Earthquake. I told, even if you put an atom bomb, I can't realize, you know, whether what you did to me. You are in so deep sleep, you can't even remember. The people say, earthquake was there, this was there, you know, that was there. We can't remember. Absolutely, no, but only Paramatma is watching. He is always watching, he is always with you. He is always there. So the living entities are completely absorbed in the three states of wakefulness, dreaming and deep sleep through their intelligence. So one person may go through this all wakeful or dreaming or deep sleep. But the consciousness, you know, if we are only aware of what is happening or what is my body, then we are not using our intelligence properly. Because if you see in Bhagavad Gita also, many times they speak about the intelligence, mind, about the different faculties of the body, the subtle and the gross body. Isn't it? In third chapter also Krishna says that one of the seating place of lust is intelligence. The senses and the mind and the intelligence are the seating place of the lust. Who is the most formidable enemy of a living entity? Because it burns down one's knowledge. Especially the spiritual knowledge and the knowledge about the... It burns down. Because why? If we are using our intelligence to satisfy the needs of the body and the mind, right? Then it's not used properly. So then we have to see, our consciousness has to be transformed from the bodily to Krishna consciousness. So this is the main aspect here. The whole purpose of presenting this teaching to Prahlad Maharaj is trying to make use of his intelligence so that he can able to remember Krishna, think about Krishna, or serve. So when we read the scriptures, especially the teachings and the writings of Acharyas and Srila Prabhupada, is basically making our intelligence sharp. The more we read Srila Prabhupada books, our intelligence is sharpened and it's getting reminded to think about Krishna and our original position, consciousness, constitutional position. The hierarchy is given in Bhagavad Gita and many other places. We see the dull, dead body. The body is always dead. The body is only is active when the soul enters the body. Above the dead matter is the senses. And above the senses is the mind. The above the mind is the intelligence. And the soul is a neighbor to the intelligence. And the Paramatma is there who is watching the soul. Quite interesting actually, if you really see. There are things which is there in our body which we cannot understand. Even materially speaking also. There are so many departments in the medical field and it's keep increasing. So many studies in the medical field, it's keep increasing. Right? What is happening within the body, one cannot able to understand. Like everyone separate. There is each organ, there is each department. And then there is each disease associated. So many diseases associated with a particular organ. And then one has to study, one has to master, one has to do MD, research, this, that. So many experience, but still there are so many problems and so many diseases which we cannot understand. which we are talking about gross, then what about the subtle aspect of our body? Very difficult. But one can use his intelligence wisely, I mean in terms of application in the life, is more important for a devotee. Because if, at the end of the day, one intelligence has to be sharp. And one has to, even in here, Prabhupada saying, one must understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead with one's intelligence. Bhagavad Gita is a book where we have to worship with our intelligence. Right? It is a specific book given where our use buddhi yoga. Krishna is saying, Dadami buddhi yogam yenamam upyanti te, that I give the intelligence so that you come to me. The most intelligent person is who take part in the Sankirtan movement. Sumedasa, isn't it? Even Prabhupada says, you know, in Bhagavad Gita also we see that people of less intelligence go to different worship. They go to different demigod. People of no intelligence actually accept impersonal realization. The people of highest intelligence actually become a devotee. We see that because in this, especially here, this intelligence is supplied by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who accompanies the individual soul as a friend. So Prabhupada actually explains in the lecture that one has to understand his consciousness with intelligence. One has to understand that he is an eternal servant of Krishna. Right? This has to be there as a in the wall of your mind, that I am the eternal servant of Krishna. Why? Because with this understanding, our intelligence is tuned again and again. Why am I doing? What am I doing? If you understand that we are eternal soul, that is a servant of Krishna, then we automatically, the next step is, we engage in the service of Krishna. Engaging in the service of Krishna is called bhakti, basically. When we engage in the service of Krishna, because if you see, most of us are coming from the eastern or the Indian subcontinent, they know, if you tell them, I'm not this body, I'm a soul, or you're not this body, you're a soul, they know, oh yeah, I know. But then where is the intelligence? Intelligence is used to satisfy the body. They don't use to understand, okay, I know, what about the action? What we are doing? Are we doing or feeding the soul? Everyone is hungry. So Prabhupada in the lecture, in Bhagavatam, the first canto, he's saying, every one of us are hungry. But this hunger is not about the food, shelter or anything else. They are hungry for the spiritual knowledge, spiritual well-being. And with our intelligence, if we can able to supply that food to our soul, then it becomes a yoga. So our aim, our goal is to become Krishna consciousness. The whole endeavor, whole thing, whatever we do throughout the day, is to become Krishna consciousness. To think about Krishna, his name, form, qualities, pastime. And to think about Krishna means, literally it means that we have to see that our thinking about oneself is reducing. About our body, about my desire, about my plans. Of course, we are considerate of what is needful and what is need to be done. But all the time, we have to see that how much I am able to think about or absorbed in Krishna consciousness. Madhvacharya says that the living entity is sometimes described as sattva buddhi. See? That's a pure intelligence. When his intelligence acts directly to perceive pain and pleasures above activities. There is a dreaming state in which understanding comes from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Mata Smriti Jnanam Appogunam Cha. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Super Soul, is a supreme controller. Under his direction, the living entities are sub-controllers. So we see this, when we develop, when we have that pure intelligence, then the living entity is described as sattva buddhi. This is Madhvacharya is saying. Basically, our subtle body, when our subtle body is pure, because to think about Krishna, to plan for Krishna, to do activities, that means awareness, we need our mind and intelligence. Right? Of course, the false ego is turned into a true ego. So we need true ego, pure intelligence and pure mind. Because to get absorbed in the service or in our reading or whatever sadhana we do, we need our mind to be clear, still. And our intelligence has to be pure as well. We need to make determination, we need to be, you know, very much determined, decision. So for that we need to be pure. So Krishna is pure. Prabhupada also gives this example that Krishna is like fire. And then we are dealing with fire. Then you also have to be fire, otherwise you will be burnt. And purity is the force, isn't it? Purity is the force. The more our subtle body, we are making our subtle body pure, then our process of Krishna consciousness become more easy. Simple as that. Yeah. So subtle body means it's not just, okay, physically we are here in the temple, in our home or in our work. Maybe we are clean, you know, we take our bath, we put our tilak, we keep our externally clean. But then our subtle body, we need to watch carefully. What is our thought? What is our daily meditation? What is my plan? How can I serve Krishna? In the same lecture, Prabhupada was saying, so Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that everyone has to become a guru. So use our intelligence. Everyone has to become a guru and then preach everyone, whoever you see, speak about Krishna. So Prabhupada explained that everyone has to become a guru. So one may ask question, guru means what? What is a guru? What is a qualification? So Mahaprabhu said in the next line that whoever you see, whoever you meet, you talk about Krishna, that when you become a guru, you'll become a guru. So one may say, I don't know anything about Krishna. I'm not read. Okay, no problem. If you don't know, at least you tell people to chant Hare Krishna. That is more easy. That is possible. If you ask people to chant Hare Krishna, that is as good as, you know, you are telling about Krishna. Then if you do that, then your life is successful. So then we see, we use our intelligence, we use our mind in Krishna consciousness. And we are trying to make it more pure. What we are associating with, what we are planning. On our day to day we can see that. How seriously we are practicing our sadhana. Is it for the sake of doing the things Because if we are not able to use our subtle body in our practice of Krishna consciousness, it's just a matter of time, everything looks dry and mechanical. Yeah? We'll come to the state that this is just not going anywhere. Why? Because our subtle body is somewhere else. We may be physically present in the temple room, in the Mangalarti, in the chanting, or the puja, or arati, whatever we do. Because we can do it, you know, expertly, nicely. But then our subtle body is somewhere else, planning something else. While we are performing our sadhana, then that effect, we are not giving our 100% in the service of Krishna. So we have to see, introspect. A life of a devotee is always introspecting about oneself. What is his aspiration? What is his goal? How can I able to go close to Krishna? Think about Krishna, the think about the devotees, the service. Why is that? If we are not putting endeavor or effort to do this thing, there are other agencies and other agencies of Maya and other people to employ us to use our subtle body in their service. Simple as that. If you are not vigilant of how you manage your subtle body, then it's a matter of attraction, distraction, and there is other faculties are there to take our energy. So better we have our control of our body, both gross and subtle body, and employ in the service of Krishna. Otherwise, it becomes, you know, of course, you know, there is a tug of war between the a devotee who want to practice Krishna consciousness, and then there are a lot of distraction in this world. But Krishna is saying, one should remember, Krishna is always there. Krishna is always there with us. When we pray, when we sincerely ask for help, then Krishna is saying, I am seated in your heart. I am like that lamp who dispel all this darkness of ignorance. I am there to give the intelligence. So Krishna is present all the time. And then these books, Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, they are non-different from Krishna. Krishna words are non-different. So when we are associating with the book Bhagavad, and we are serving by reading, so again Krishna is helping outside. So Krishna is there within and Krishna is there outside to help the soul to come closer to Him. And we are not left in the wilderness. We have a proper process where our subtle body gets strengthened. Our morning program, reading. So, full-fledged process is given where we can able to absorb ourselves in Krishna consciousness. There is no problem in that. It has worked to many people. It is not changed that every 6 months we are giving a new process. So, it is given, tested, it is working, but we need to take advantage of it by regularly doing our sadhana, regularly doing our... So, that's how, you know, one is going deep. We are doing the same thing again and again, but we are going deep. Little bit. So then we are not disturbed by the external superficial waves of material energy. When our intelligence is pure, when our mind is pure, and then when we engage in Krishna consciousness, then everything is remain pure. Then it becomes so easy to give to others also. Isn't it? We don't have anything agenda in our... We just have to present the Krishna consciousness to others and they take it easily. Very easily they take it. So I'll stop here and see if anyone has any questions or comments or correction on what we discussed today. Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Yeah.
You mentioned before about how at the time of death it's almost like falling into a deep sleep for 7 months.
Yeah.
What's this? I've never heard of that. What's this 7 months?
Oh, that's like. That's a time that, you know, the soul gets the another body, then in the womb, so it gets put and then, you know, come out.
So is that 7 months including the womb?
Possibly.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, cool. Thank you.
Yeah. We don't want to go into the womb.
No.
Yeah.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, thank you for the nice class. Prabhuji, you mentioned how Paramatma inside our heart gives us knowledge, forgetfulness and remembrance.
Yeah.
And we know that Paramatma is in everyone's heart. Then I'd like to ask Prabhuji, how so many people are atheists, and then why then the Paramatma inside in the heart doesn't direct them to try to understand Krishna? Why doesn't the Paramatma give them the intelligence or knowledge to understand Krishna?
So, again, Paramatma is silent observer. He is always there. He is witnessing. Sometimes his voice is there, but the voice of the mind is so loud we can't hear him. And everyone is independent in this world. You can do whatever you want. Force does not help us to develop love. Right? So, out of natural, organic way that you surrender to Krishna or approach Krishna is the best. So the atheist also doing everything, maya, apratta, jnana, ashram, bhavam, ashritaha, Krishna saying, these people don't come to me. Because why? First of all, they think they are God. And then they think that everything is maya, something is above Krishna is good or the supreme. So they have misguided ignorance basically. So they not want to accept anything authority. Because the moment you accept authority, you have to follow the authority. When you reject the authority, then you are free to do anything. So the atheist ideology is, oh, they may not be very proper atheists, but they don't want to accept any kind of authority above them. So they're thinking that they can enjoy fully, right? And so Krishna is saying, I reciprocate them by casting them again and again in hellish planet. In the 16th chapter, Krishna is saying about the divine and demonic. He's saying, I reciprocate, because that's what they want. They want to forget more and more about Krishna. So Krishna is saying, okay, I reciprocate, then you go to deepest region of hell. But it's interesting, in that section where Krishna is saying this, these kind of people does not come to me, then Prabhupada writes a purport where he gives the example of Jagai and Madai, where the devotees, Krishna is saying these people are not, will not become devotee, but the devotees are taking the risk to go and preach to these people where Krishna is saying they will not come. But since the devotees are desiring that this person should become devotee, then Krishna gives mercy, okay, I'll make them devotee. So what, they are in ignorance. Once upon a time, we were in that situation where we are not exposed to Krishna consciousness, but someone has taken their time, someone has gone out of their way to give that mercy, to able to reciprocate to Krishna consciousness. Similarly, the devotees, if a person is atheist, if a, you know, Krishna is just waiting, but devotees can give some prasadam. That's why we do Harinam, holy name, right? We chant Hare Krishna. One time the devotee was coming to Prabhupada and saying, see Prabhupada, how much time they have put so much thing bad. Hare Krishna did this, Hare Krishna that, Hare Krishna this, Hare Krishna that. Then Prabhupada only seeing the paper and the newspaper, and then he is counting, and then he said, very good, this is very good. Prabhupada said, what is this? These people all put bad thing. And Prabhupada said, no, this many times they have mentioned Hare Krishna. So that's very good. People reading that, they'll get benefit. So the vision of an acharya or the great devotee are different, because they see good in bad also. Because they're saying, by chanting Hare Krishna is bad, if someone is saying Hare Krishna bad, it's good actually. Because he's saying Hare Krishna. So that's how it works. So even though that person is maybe atheist or something, the Paramatma is just watching, simply waiting for the opportunity. And the devotees actually create that opportunity by their causeless mercy. And that way Krishna also can able to give his mercy. That's how it works. Generally we try to avoid the atheist. So this is the second class devotee. Is one of the qualification of the advancement of a devotee is that he start discriminating people. Why? Because to discriminate so that he can serve them better. The best way of serving an atheist better is that you avoid. Give prasadam maybe.
Thank you, Prabhuji.
Okay. Yes. You have a question? Yes, Surabhi. Yes.
Thank you for the nice class, Prabhuji. You said that Krishna is fire, but how come he is fire?
How come he is fire? Because he swallowed the fire. You know that story? Krishna swallowed that fire, right? Yeah. Did you read that? What did he say to the friends? You know or no? No. Okay, it's your homework for you. You read that chapter and you tell me tomorrow what did Krishna say to his friends before doing that. Okay? There Krishna swallowed the whole fire. You know the bush fire? Like big bush fire. So he is fire now. Okay? Thank you. Look.
What does it mean in the verse that intelligence can be perceived in the deep sleep? How can you perceive your intelligence in a deep sleep?
Like, in the sense that with the help of intelligence, you know what is your state now.
Sorry, say that again, Prabhu, sorry.
With the help of the intelligence, the soul can perceive at the moment where is the consciousness, what state it is. It is awake or dreaming or deep sleep. Okay. Because when you get up, you know, I was awake, I went to the bed like this, I dreamt like that, and then there was some time I was like, whoo, deep. Oh. So, where is that coming from?
Okay.
So, the intelligence can discriminate three states. But who is perceiving? The soul, but with the help of super soul.
Okay.
The super soul is giving the memory, was.
Oh, okay.
You understand?
Yeah.
So like that, with the intelligence we know the three categories. So that's how it's mentioned here.
Okay, so you're remembering that you...
Yeah. You know that at a certain point that you were like, you were dreaming, but then certain point you were like deep.
Yeah, Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, with the awareness or consciousness, because you can only know in your body, you don't know what is happening in me. Right? But then, even in the deep sleep, what happened in the deep sleep you may not know, but Krishna knows.
Oh.
And then he gives little bit, you know, you can remember a little bit that Prabhupada also say, very, very, but it's covered.
Yeah.
It's covered.
So in the deep sleep something's happening as well?
Yeah, yeah, of course many things are happening.
Or you're dreaming?
You're dreaming, that's a different, because dreaming means mind is active.
Yeah.
But the deep sleep, mind is also off.
Right. Okay.
In the dreaming state, intelligence is off, mind is acting, active.
Oh, yeah, makes sense.
But that's why it doesn't make sense, because you are flying
with
the mountain in hand, like, or you see a golden mountain. Because if the intelligence is there, it will question. Mm. No, that doesn't exist. Because mind alone is active, it puts all the permutation, combination, and then becomes colorful.
Oh.
When that is also tired, you are fatigued. So there is a physical tiredness and then mental fatigue is there, right?
Yeah.
You are totally off. In the sense, you know, not the best word, unconscious, but you are in that state. Still, Paramatma is conscious of what is happening. That's why Prabhupada also said, that's maybe frustrating for a devotee that when he is in that state, but Krishna as a friend is standing next to you.
Mm.
So one should be very happy about that.
Okay.
Because if you are remembering Krishna, when you are wakefulness, you can remember Krishna.
Yeah.
What is the guarantee that, you know, at the time of death, one can remember Krishna?
Mm.
Because he can be in any state, right?
Yeah.
He can be in deep sleep. Yeah. He can be in anesthesia, or he can be in wakeful or something. But then, Krishna as a friend, because he is conscious of everything, he is there as a friend next to you. So, Krishna is so mercy.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Okay. Yes, Guru. Last question.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
Yes, Guru.
So, Prabhu, the devotees, out of mercy, they want to instruct everybody about Krishna.
Yeah.
So, why is the ninth offense of chanting the holy name is to commit is a sinful activity to instruct someone on the holy name?
To instruct the faithless about the holy name.
Yeah.
So what happened is, we give everyone chanting and everything Hare Krishna, right? We give it to everyone. It's like you serve prasadam to all, but only you give extra when someone asking. You don't discriminate in serving prasadam, right? You give it to everyone. But then you don't go and forcefully take, you know, you have to take second, come on. No, I don't want. Why you are giving? Then they will feel bad. But when they come and ask you, you know, I like this curry, can you give me more? Then you give more. So similarly, like you give it to, you chant, you give holy name, you chanting, Harinam, everything. But then you don't go and speak to someone, catch them and tell them, you know, you have to chant like this, Suddhanam, Sudha, Nababas, like that, you know. You don't tell the details of intricacies of all this philosophy and everything. That person will not, you know, he will not appreciate. It becomes, you know, you will not see him again. You don't force. You don't. Basically, the inquisitiveness of a person is actually the flag which you see in that person. So, like you give them and you wait. Are they asking question? Or you challenge, you can poke little bit, but you don't give everything. Oh yes, here is the Siddhanta, here we go, like we have class now. Like, you know, that will not help in very much, because then that becomes an offense. Because he is faithless. So you just, it's like, you know, you reciprocation. You like you give something, you wait for that person, and then you tell, when he comes back, then you give him more. Right?
Thank you,
Prabhu. Yes, I give up. Okay.
Thank you, Raji, for the wonderful class. My question was, you said to die is to go into deep sleep.
Yeah.
So, but we have heard that when we die, we have many scorpions biting you at once.
Yeah.
So, how can we understand that?
So, That is in the scriptures given that, you know, the pain, especially to magnify or to illustrate the amount of pain. Because when that time of pain, we can't able to really think outside the body. We are only conscious of that pain and everything. But deep sleep means in the sense, the soul is always conscious. It doesn't die like the body. But the soul is transferred into another body. So that during that time is like kind of a deep sleep. Yeah. So that pain, what that is, especially when the soul is leaving the body. That example is given for the pain. And after the it come out of the body, then this deep sleep is given. So there are two different things. One this one, and then after that this one. Not both are not happening simultaneously.
Thank you, Raji.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you very much. Antara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.